Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master show. We are talking about the top trends in finance and accounting for 2025. Today's topic is the rise of hyper-personalized financial management tools for small and mid-sized enterprises, a segment that has been underserved for years and lacking the capabilities of the big enterprises. It's going to be great. I have a guest with me that I'm going to introduce in just a little bit as well. So it's not just me talking here, always to add some great dynamic to the show. And it's a pleasure to introduce our guest today, Rick Vermeulen. Rick, do you want to give a quick intro of yourself? And then we'll get back to you with lots of questions later as well.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm Hendrik Vermeulen. I'm a certified Swiss accountant and have about 12 to 15 years experience in accounting in big tech companies and other companies. And I have founded a small software company lately. And thank you for having me on the show, Anders.
Absolutely, Rick. So Rick and I, we met just a few weeks back in Denmark, where he attended an event where I have been asked to speak as well. And I just thought to myself, he's building a tool. We are talking about this topic here. Why not bring Rick on the show? So that's how things go. You meet people and then you make stuff happen. So Rick, we'll get back to you a little bit later. I'm curious also to hear your perspectives on this. Small and medium-sized enterprises, or SMEs for short, have always been the backbone of the global economy, driving innovation, job creation, and local economic growth. Yet, one of their most persistent challenges is managing their finances effectively. Limited resources, lack of financial expertise, and unpredictable cash flows often hinder their ability to compete with larger corporations. In 2025, a new wave of hyper-personalized financial management tools is set to change the game for SMEs. These platforms, powered by advanced artificial intelligence and machine learning and other analytics capabilities, offer tailored financial planning, budgeting, and cash flow management solutions. And I'd say cash flow in itself is probably one of the typical killers of these small companies because they are not able to plan adequately and then suddenly they run out of funds. So these tools are definitely going to help. They're poised to empower SMEs with the insights and tools needed to thrive in a competitive marketplace. Today's show explores the rise of these hyper-personalized financial management tools, which we have deemed one of the top trends in finance and accounting for 2020. We'll explain how these tools work, their benefit for SMEs, and the future of use of this transformative way of using technology. So this is what we can look forward to. But before we dig into all of that, Rick, how have you experienced the development of these financial management tools for SMEs during your career?
Yeah, so I had the chance to work on small and large implementations of financial management tools. And one thing is clear to me is that success depends on user engagement, aligning the tool to business needs. When it's done right, then the team is on board, the benefits can be huge. These tools, they automate the boring things, the repetitive tasks, they free up time to optimize the process even more. They also give organization real-time insights to make smarter data-driven decisions. So you get better financial strategies and improve productivity over the long term, I think, with these tools.
No, absolutely. And you're getting a point that I always tell people that if it's technology or it can also be a process change, whatever it is, but at the end of any change that you want to make, there is still a human being doing something differently. And if you don't catch on to that and if you don't invest in that, then forget about whatever tool that you want to use. It's just not going to give you the return on investment that you want. So a great point there, Rick. So looking into next year, what do you think we can expect from these tools in 2025?
Yeah, we've seen the last 2 years with AI chatbots. It was great. You see a lot of power there. So imagine you can apply that technology to financial management teams. And you can have chatbots that can dive into financial data, provide instant insights, or flag issues. I think that would be great. And of course, you have to make sure that data privacy can be guaranteed. Looking forward to see that and to see that coming.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a revolution as well for all finance professionals. Of course, the large companies I've done a lot of work with SAP this year, and I've seen the capabilities that they're bringing to market, and they're still not fully there with those capabilities that they can showcase them and maybe have a beta version, but it's not fully implemented even for the large companies yet, but it's coming. And just imagine you have an ERP system, however big or small that is, and you have your AI assistant there, and you can ask him anything across the entire ERP system, not just financial data, but everything you have in the system. Today, how do we do that? We extract data into Excel, and then we do some pivot tables, and then we hope to find out what we need to know, right? And it's just a very inefficient way of driving this. So I completely agree with you, Maverick, that putting in that AI assistant on your data is going to be amazing for all of us out there. So thanks a lot for sharing that. We'll get back to you with more questions later. So first and foremost, what are these hyper-personalized financial management tools? They take personalization to the next level by using AI and ML, analyze data, and deliver highly customized solutions. For financial management tools, this means going beyond generic templates and dashboards to offer insights and recommendations uniquely tailored to each SME-specific needs, industry, and financial circumstances. And speaking of the event where Rick and I met, I also met another guy there whom I spent an hour with some days later, who's also building a tool where the whole AI part for small, mid-sized companies is going to be critical to analyze their numbers and give them personalized insights into their company. So lots of things are happening in this space these days. But if we should check in on some of the key features of these tools, we have AI-driven insights. You get real-time analytics and actionable recommendations based on the data you have. Predictive modeling, so use machine learning to forecast cash flow, revenue trends, and potential risks. It's not just for the big companies anymore. Small companies can get this as well. Then there's dynamic budgeting. You can automatically adjust budgets based on changing business conditions. Wouldn't that be nice? Customizable dashboards to tailor interfaces to display the metrics most relevant to a business. And integrated ecosystems, if we should go a bit broader. So connect with accounting software, bank accounts, payment platforms for seamless financial management. And I think a lot of that you can already do today, but perhaps many SMEs haven't really realized the full benefits of this. So I think lots to come there. And undoubtedly, these are features SMEs have long yearned for, but have been unable to get so far. So let's explore how they could work for SMEs. So these tools integrate various data sources, analyze that data in real time, and provide insights and recommendations designed to optimize financial health. Here's a step-by-step walkthrough of how they work. So step number one is data integration. So these tools connect to multiple data sources like bank accounts, accounting systems, whether you use QuickBooks, Xero, whatever other economics, if you're here in the Nordics, whatever it is that you use, they connect to that. Payroll systems, e-commerce platforms, CRM tools, and whatever. So they can become your, not your ERP system, because that's what all these other things do, but it can be that place where you have all the data, and then you can start to do the analytics on top. Then you get to the AI and machine learning analysis. So once you have integrated data, AI ML algorithms analyze it to identify patterns, trends, and anomalies. This analysis forms the foundation for the hyper-personalized recommendations, which is then step number three, tailored recommendations. The tool generates insights into the SME's financial goals, industry benchmarks, and historical performance. So examples could be optimal cash reserve levels, customized payment schedules to reduce late fees, and suggestions for reducing operating costs. And finally, step number four, as the SME uses the tool, it learns from new data, continuously refining its models and recommendations for even greater personalization. So the first attempt may not be great, but it will learn fast, and soon you will have insights that you couldn't come up with yourself. So it's going to be very interesting to follow. Of course, it's easy to imagine how this will benefit SMEs, but we have to examine some of the specific benefits. But before we do that, going back to you, Rick, could you explain from your point of view how it practically works to implement one of these tools?
Yeah, I think first, business expertise is crucial. You need people who understand your business and to guide through the implementation. Second, the top-down approach doesn't work. You cannot just decide to implement something and throw it to your team. You have to involve everyone from the start so that they are part in the process of the change management. And then same, you need to let the team experiment with the tool, play with it so that it encourages ownership and creativity, because they're going to be the users for every day. And always identify business needs first, so that you can focus on the problems you're trying to solve, not just the technology. And finally, animate it internally. Try to get everyone on board, everyone excited, aligned, so that kind of the whole organization is part of that change.
Yeah, and would you say that if you learn a traditional ERP implementation, it could take 12 to 18 months or even longer if it's a huge company? Or with these tools, yeah, the implementation time could be down to even 2 weeks or maybe 4 to 6 weeks on average, right? But would you say that's a key difference maker between these tools?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think, yeah, these tools have to provide the onboarding so that people can onboard quickly and engage or engage the people on the tool rapidly.
Yeah, absolutely. So learning here is key, right? And we published a market guide to third generation planning tools, which is also in this space here. Not that long ago, we published a second version. And then we also asked all these tool companies, what's your average implementation time? And we did have quite a few of them actually going down to these 2 weeks and no one really going more than 2 months. So if you are scared by implementations in the past, then this is going to be different, but it's not going to be set up to be perfect either from day one. It's going to be set up for learning, right? So you learn, you adapt, and then you can use the tool even better. So I think that's really key. And also excited to hear about your tool a bit later here, Ringway. Definitely also want to hear how that's going to work. So stay tuned a little bit, then we'll get back to you with more questions. But let's take it on the benefits first. So the adoption of hyper-personalized financial management tools offers several game-changing benefits for SMEs. One is enhanced financial visibility. SMEs often struggle with fragmented financial data. These tools consolidate all financial information into a single platform, providing a real-time view of cash flow, expenses, and revenue. Simple example could be a retail SME that can monitor daily sales, track payment delays, and identify peak revenue periods in one dashboard. Ask yourself if you have that today. Most don't. Another one could be proactive risk management. So AI-powered tools can predict financial risks before they become critical issues. These platforms provide early warnings and actionable insights from cash flow shortages to potential loan defaults. An example could be a construction company that receives an alert that its cash reserves might dip below a critical threshold next quarter, prompting it to delay non-essential expenditures. Especially in construction, you may have a lot of prepayments that you need to make to get all your materials to build whatever you're constructing. And that's very cash intensive. So you don't have cash flow forecasting under control. It's going to be a big challenge. And I worked with what that was even a $500 million turnover company not so long ago, and they did all this in Excel. So, having a tool there can definitely be very nice. Number three is smarter budgeting and forecasting. The traditional budgeting methods can be time-consuming and inflexible. Hyper-personalized tools create dynamic budgets that adjust automatically based on real-time data, helping SMEs adapt to changing circumstances. An example could be a marketing agency's budget that is adjusted dynamically as new client projects are signed, ensuring adequate resource allocation without manual intervention. Wouldn't it be so sad if they couldn't run marketing campaigns for new clients because the marketing budget was spent? That would at least be a bit absurd. Number four is on cost savings. These tools can help identify inefficiencies and unnecessary expenditures, allowing SMEs to cut costs without sacrificing quality. An example could be an AI tool that flags redundant software subscriptions for an IT services company, saving them thousands annually. I've at least heard about this exercise many times in many companies, but it's always a manual exercise rather than something that you can get through the tool. Number five is tailored financial planning. So every SME is unique, and so are its financial goals. These tools create bespoke financial plans aligning with an SME's specific objective, whether scaling operations, reducing debt, or expanding into new markets. An example could be a boutique hotel that uses a financial planning tool to project the ROI of opening a new location based on its unique customer data and seasonal trends. And finally, improved decision-making. Real-time insights and predictive analytics enable SME owners to make informed decisions quickly without needing a finance background. They're big enough to encourage them to have a finance person helping them interpret this, but yes, this could definitely happen. Simple example could be a cafe owner that receives daily recommendations on pricing adjustments for menu items based on real-time cost and sales data, maybe even social media sentiment, right? Could be a lot of things happening there. These tremendous benefits would surely boost profitability and cash flow for any SME. We should, of course, be aware of the potential challenges as well. We'll get to those. But going back to you, Rick, do you expect that SMEs are ready to reap these benefits in 2025, or is that still further out in the future?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I think that implementation time can be shortened, so it's easier to implement. And AI has shown that it can be very powerful. So I think AI and these tools will get more and more important in the coming years. The businesses that will embrace these tools will get a competitive advantage against those who don't do it.
Absolutely. And it's back to the simple quote that AI won't kill you. It's people that use AI that will basically take your job, right? There's still something for humans to do, but those that actually start to leverage these tools, and it's the same for businesses, they will definitely have a much, much better competitive advantage. Thanks for sharing that perspective, Rick. And then I just want to tune in on the comment here from Sianda. I don't think I can read the whole thing, but she basically says that in many countries, businesses face common challenges such as economic conditions, cash flows, and regulatory hurdles. But in South Africa, there's a unique challenge that doesn't get as much attention, which is crime. So high crime rates significantly impact small and medium-sized enterprises in the country. And of course, there's a lot of negative impact from this. It's a unique challenge seen from a, and this can be difficult, right? Because this is obviously a very terrible situation. But if seen from a data perspective, you could probably pull in crime statistics into your financial management tool and use that to help make smarter decisions about where to place, for instance, new warehouses or where to open up new shops and so on, right? So that you actually get more insights into this information and it can make smarter decisions. It's actually, you can protect your assets and your people working for you as well. So clearly a unique situation here, which is probably other places than just South Africa, but you can also look at this from a data perspective also. Then we have Earl here saying, are these tools based on AI LLMs or internal LLMs based on verticals? Probably going to bring Rick up here as well, not that I couldn't answer, at least from my perspective. How do you see this, Rick? Because you also talked about the data governance also earlier. This, of course, is an issue. So how do you see these tools being based? The way I see it is more, is it an open model, right, where you kind of use open LLMs to analyze the data while you're building some sort of internal language model? It can also be a numerical model that will also come soon to do this analysis. Because there's been a lot of discussion around, don't put your own data on ChatGPT, a simple example. Now, many companies have done that. So how do you see these tools being built? Is it internal models being developed or is it using something external?
Yeah, then I think the biggest challenge here will be that, to what data do you connect those AIs? And again, if you use AI now to just chat about something, the context matters so much. And will provide different answers in what data you pull in, right? So depending on what you want, how you want to use your AI, you need to choose what data you want to show it. So I think that's where that's a whole project where you have to think about this before you start using the AI.
Yeah, and I've at least seen many companies start to build their own internal GPT tools or whatever it is, and starting to use those, because then they can do it on a safe and secure environment. Of course, you could also purchase upgrades for ChatGPT and others, so it won't use your data for training data and whatnot. So there's many ways that you can actually address this. Over time, I believe the tools themselves will actually come with lots of this. What I see from SAP, for instance, is that's just on your data, your ERP system, and then you can do the analysis from there. Thanks for sharing your perspective on that question as well, Rick. Let's just talk about some of the challenges in adopting some of these tools. So while these tools can revolutionize the way SMEs work, they also come with challenges that we need to address to maximize the benefits. The first one we basically just discussed, that data privacy and security. So SMEs may be hesitant to share sensitive financial data with third-party platforms. Vendors must prioritize robust data security measures and transparent policies to build trust. The cost of implementation, advanced financial tools can be costly, at least the running cost of them, particularly for small businesses with limited budgets. SaaS models and tiered pricing can make these tools more accessible. You could probably buy a subscription for $10 per month. And you can argue whether $10 per month is a lot. I don't think so, but of course it depends on your business and your budget. Learning curve, Rick also talked a little bit about that, I think. So many SME owners lack financial expertise, making adopting and using these tools difficult. So vendors must invest in intuitive design and user-friendly interfaces to make it happen. And finally, integration with existing systems. So not all tools integrate seamlessly with legacy accounting software or operational systems. SMEs should prioritize broadly compatible tools to do this. The challenges should not be ignored, but they are also largely addressable in an SME context. That's because it's easier to work with the IT infrastructure and connect with the cloud ERP tools that these companies often use. What we see in 2025 is only the starting point, but this trend is expected to yield benefits far into the future. So back to you, Rick. Should we be concerned about these challenges, do you think?
No, I think we have to overcome them, and we need to maybe manage the risks that are coming with them.
Absolutely, we need to do that. So how do you advise that we actually overcome these challenges?
Yeah, so look for vendors that have a strong security certification, like SOC. Make sure that they offer features like encryption, maybe, or two-factor authentication at least. Start with affordable SaaS models. Focus on what the core features, what you need right now, and then you can scale up later for business growth. I think it's also crucial to have focus on user-friendly design, which should be easy to use. It has to have solid onboarding, easy access training, as you said, and very important. And then when selecting tools, make sure they offer connectors for legacy systems or integrated systems. And for more complex integration, you should ask help for IT or for consultants. I think these challenges are temporary, and with the rapid advancement of tech, the long-term benefits should overweight the initial issues.
I fully agree on that, Rick. Thanks a lot for sharing the insights into overcome the challenges. Let's talk about the future of this space here. As we said, it's only the beginning. And so what could the future potentially hold? It could be AI-powered virtual CFOs. I think that's already a bit what Rick was talking about, right? So as AI continues to evolve, these high-personalized tools could serve as virtual as CFOs for SMEs, offering strategic guidance, automation, financial tasks, and managing investments. There could be greater industry specialization. So expect these tools to be tailored to specific industries, such as retail, healthcare, manufacturing, offering even deeper insights and recommendations. Increased accessibility. So as competition among vendors grows, these tools will become more affordable and accessible, democratizing advanced financial management for all SMEs. And finally, integration with ESG metrics. So future tools will likely incorporate environmental, social, and governance metrics, enabling SMEs to track their sustainability efforts alongside financial performance. Even though many of these tools are still nascent, SMEs shouldn't be hesitant to start. That's because the tools are born in the cloud, and SMEs will have easy access to new features as soon as they become available. We can also learn from some early successes that we will share just in a little bit. But Rick, we talked about the tool that you're also building, right? So you're building a SMO. What is that going to bring to the market that's not available today? Can you enlighten us a little bit there?
Yeah. So I think finance relies on highly specialized tools designed for specific tasks. They do their job well, like the tools you mentioned before. But what's missing to my mind is a platform that plays the band leader to let everyone deliver their part on time during the closing, year-end closing, or audit. ContiClose ensures that every part of the financial operation work in harmony, creating a unified process where nothing gets overlooked and no effort is wasted. So if you think about it, there's nothing worse than having to rerun a monthly report because there's a critical legal case that it didn't know or a missed adjustment. So suddenly you have to redo everything, the whole closing, or rethink of all the accruals that you made. That's wasting valuable time, and you're missing your deadline for sure if that happens. So ContiClose is trying to prevent that by ensuring everyone stays connected with the right data delivered on the right person at the right time. And installing financial tools is great, but enabling process optimization in the long run, that's a real challenge. So once these tools are in place, the team needs to document the workflows, create training materials, find a system administrator, and ensuring teams actually use the tool properly. And there's nothing worse than someone, a key person, leaving the tool, the company, and then the tool isn't used anymore how it should. So all these things are neglected, and it can lead to inefficiencies and loss of adoption over time. So what I'm trying with my software is to provide a structured framework to centralize these elements, so process documents, training material, closing checklists, so that not only successful implementation, but also sustained value over time. I think that's really important. And yeah, so I'm from Switzerland. I believe finance organizations should work like a Swiss watch, every piece moving together perfectly in time to create something exceptional.
I like that analogy, Rick. So then you can have that and ditch the Swiss army knife, so the Excel tool, and instead get a Swiss watch. I think that's a nice upgrade somehow. And I can definitely relate to this. I've been a finance manager at an SME before myself. We had $180 million in revenue on a yearly basis. So it was small, but it wasn't huge either. And I had to create these checklists and documents, whatever, all the things you're mentioning in Excel, and then just meticulously making sure the team was doing the right things on month end, and I was doing the right things on month end. And then we actually do a one day close, but it was very manual. It would be great to have a tool that could help there. We'll proceed with some of the success stories. I know we're a bit over time here. Let's try to get off. So then we have a final question for Rick as well in the end. So what could be some success stories? We have three here for you, for instance. A craft brewery that optimizes cash flow. So a small brewery uses an AI-driven tool to forecast seasonal sales and manage supplier payments. The insights help the company maintain positive cash flow during the off-peak months. Number two is a digital marketing agency that enhances profitability. By analyzing product cost and client profitability, a marketing agency identifies its most lucrative services and adjusts its pricing strategy accordingly. And finally, it could be an e-commerce store that scales operations. An online retailer uses a hyper-personalized platform to manage inventory, forecast demand, and optimize pricing, increasing product margins by 20%. If you've already tried some of these tools, we encourage you to share your stories. Do it here in the feed, do it on the blog post from this morning, so others can learn and grow as well, just like we brought Rick on the show today to help us learn here as well. It's definitely going into a new era for SME finance. So in 2025, hyper-personalized financial management tools will redefine how SMEs manage their finances. Offering tailored insights, proactive risk management, and smarter budgeting solutions, these platforms empower SMEs to overcome financial challenges and unlock new growth opportunities. For SMEs, the rise of hyper-personalization represents not just a technological shift, but also a chance to compete on a level playing field with larger corporations. By embracing these tools, SMEs can move from surviving to thriving in today's dynamic business environment. And with that, Rick, any final thoughts you'd like to share on this trend with the audience? I'm happy to hear them.
Yeah, thanks, Anders. So I think we're entering some truly exciting times in financial management, where we already have 10 years of automation, kind of AI with CR, with other tools that increase our productivity. And AI will just unfold this whole productivity gain that we will have. We had in 10 years, will continue. It's crucial to my mind for finance organization to start preparing this era now. If you haven't already, now is the perfect time to structure, document, digitize, and connect your systems, so you can speed up adoption of AI tools and the tools that are going to come in the next years and make the most of what's coming.
Great stuff. And indeed, now is the time. If you feel like you're already behind because you haven't started, that's not true. 70% of finance teams, and this is counting big companies as well, have not started with using AI in their finance function yet. So, you're not behind the curve. You can still be among the early adopters. I guess that's the good news. Rick, thanks a lot for being here today, sharing your insights, telling us a little bit about your tool as well. I think that's been hugely helpful. So thanks a lot for spending the time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Hope to see you again next week, where we'll talk about ESG and insurance and how that can be automated with AI. And until then, see you out there on LinkedIn. Thanks a lot for tuning in, everyone.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.